morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. We hope you had a good weekend. And along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you very much for joining us. It is Monday, June the 13th. Wow, we're almost halfway through this month. Can you believe it? In a few minutes, Angela McArdle will be with us. She is the new chairwoman of the National Libertarian Party. Indeed. Congratulations to Angela. We're going to ask her all kinds of things, including where the party is headed. You know, it's the third largest political party in the country. Where is it going? We'll also talk about its platform, what it stands for, and how does it feel about open borders, the border crisis, and inflation, and all kinds of other things. So stay tuned in just a few minutes. And a backlash over allowing Florida Governor Ron DeSantis to go and speak before a conservative Jewish conference in New York. What? We're going to get some thoughts on it, as well as a few other things from the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci, a little bit later in the show. And is it going to be a recession? Or is it going to be inflation? Pick your poison here. Those may be the two choices for Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell. In a moment, we're going to take a look at that as well. I mean, look at the stock market. It's down 632 points right now. It's down to 30,000 plus. It was up at around 34,000. So it's dropping like a rock. And we have a good top 10 for you. It's the updated top 10 greatest rock bands of all time. So stay tuned for that as well. Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. I'll tell you guys, you want to get the best haircut you can get. And by the way, I got to get over there now. Hair's growing all over my ears. But it's Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Call for your appointment, please. 727-733-3773. Again, Andrew's Master Barbershop. All right. So, hey, we're all excited here in Tampa Bay because our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning are going on to the finals once again. We usually talk about that at the end of the show, don't we, Ed? But I was very excited to see them win that New York Rangers contest. And they're going to go on to the Mountains of Colorado to face the Colorado Rockies on Wednesday. So we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show.
But building up.
What's that?
They can't play the Colorado Rockies.
Oh.
They have to play the Avalanche.
Oh, you're right. Whatever the team is, it's in Colorado, right? Denver. It's the Colorado Avalanche. Now, can you get an avalanche from the Rockies? I guess you could, couldn't you? With a little bit of snow. But you're right. It's the Avalanche. Should be interesting. Anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. In the meantime, we got some really... Look at the stock market. We're at 641 points negative today so far. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell is facing two poisons, an increasingly grim calculus after yet another inflation reading that went south last week. After spending much of last year sounding a bit like the inflation-tolerant former central bank chief Arthur Burns, he has taken increasingly the mantle of inflation slayer, like former Fed icon Paul Volcker. And so the question is he going to try to increase interest rates dramatically? What does that do? It stops people from spending a lot of money. But when we do that, what happens? It means that a lot of products aren't purchased, right? And we fall into a recession. Now, if he leaves things alone, we got all kinds of money chasing fewer goods. And what does that do? It makes the goods more expensive. As you well know, that's exactly what is happening right now. And meanwhile, we've got this stumble bum of a president. He's supposedly going to be talking about inflation. I don't know if it's today or tomorrow. What difference does it make? He's not going to do anything. He's not going to do the real things that will help us. Everything starts with the cost of our energy, because everything that we buy has a factor in it of the cost of the deliverer of that product, with gasoline costs and diesel fuel costs. So everything starts with energy. Everything starts with energy. And everything goes up when the price of gasoline goes up. And so now we're spending $5 a gallon on average across this country. I think down here in Tampa Bay, it's a little bit under that. But we're getting to $5. And we know that out on the West Coast, it's over $6 now. So this is going, I mean, maybe not initially, but it's going to slow down the economy, because people, quite frankly, don't want to spend that kind of money. And although there is still, apparently, if you look at the way people are traveling, there has not been a decrease in transportation or flying or whatever there is. But as those prices go up, inevitably, people are not going to be able to afford as much of the good stuff with traveling and vacations, you know, and everything else. So the Fed is in a do and die, or do the other thing and die. An increasing number of economists, including the ex-Fed vice chairman, says it may take an economic contraction, and higher unemployment to bring inflation down. You know, the fewer people that have money, the less money is spent. That inevitably brings down the cost of the product, because the retailers want to sell the product. Nobody's coming in the store. They got to lower the price. So, you know, again, it's pick your poison. But we want to see the economy expand. We want to see prices come down. They will do so if the idiot in the White House and the people around him decide that it's time to cut back on the regulations that will allow the drilling in our country, which will allow more oil to be produced in our country and less oil to be imported from other countries that can hold us hostage to the price of the oil, allow the pipelines to let the flow of oil come down from Canada and travel down to the refineries, the cheapest way and safest way that it can get there, and get the whole country going again. Because once you bring that down, it's going to be, I think, like a domino effect. I think all of the other things will start to lower as well, and we'll start getting back on track. But you know, Biden's not going to do that. He's beholden to the far left, who will, despite whatever happens to this country, will be convinced that we should deep six fossil fuels. All right. Enough of the lecture. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, Angela McArdle, chairwoman of the Libertarian Party, will join us. Lollipop, lollipop, oh, lolly, 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 lollipop, lollipop, oh, lolly, 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 lollipop, lollipop, oh, lolly, 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 lollipop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works, and we are so glad you are listening. Thank you. Delighted, really delighted to have the new chairwoman of the Libertarian Party join us, Angela McArdle. And, you know, the Libertarian Party, National Libertarian Party, third largest party in the country, has always been up there, and I must say, stand philosophically behind what it really believes. They've been around since, I think, 1971. Angela, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Yes, and congratulations on your appointment or selection or becoming the new chairwoman. I know the Libertarian Party has, you know, a lot of people, this is very interesting to me, a lot of people, Ronald Reagan and all kinds of other people, would always say that they were libertarian in many ways. And yet, most of them don't join the Libertarian Party. They stay with the party that, you know, either the Democrats or the Republicans. It's been a very interesting kind of a situation. Is that somewhat frustrating when you hear people like that? Another one is Rand Paul. And Ron Paul, you know, they were staunch libertarians, and yet they stood in the Republican Party. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that there are some people like Ron Paul and Rand Paul who are primarily focused on electoral success. And so, to be honest, the Libertarian Party has not made as much progress in that area as I would like them to have made over the past 50 years. So we have to really take a lesson from those guys and try to learn from that and do better to try to attract more powerful voices in the liberty movement into the actual Libertarian Party. That's definitely something I'll be working on over the next couple of years.
Yeah, and I know that there are lots of things to work on. There's, of course, increase in membership. Let's talk a little bit about your platform. You know, the common philosophy of a libertarian is my rights end where your nose begins. As much hands-off as possible, and the allowance of the individual to shape his or her life. Only when there are conflicts that don't seem to be able to be resolved between two people does some sort of a government entity set in. And that's still basically the philosophy of the party, correct?
Absolutely.
Do we have, we've got some things that maybe, you know, become a little bit of an issue. As an example, we've got whether or not abortion is something, the rights of a woman versus the rights of an unborn child. We've got the southern border. The border, I mean, should be, you know, libertarians believe in, kind of believe in, you know, allowing freedom of entry and exit, I guess you might say. But then if that is the case, if people just pour into our country and we don't know who they are, you know, chaos can inevitably result. So I just want you to kind of give us a few thoughts perhaps on some of the things most recently, in fact, where a Libertarian Party might be standing. Let's start with the abortion thing because it's very much in the news. There's a chance that Roe versus Wade may be overturned. We have a conservative majority in the Supreme Court, and there's been a leak. Now, whether or not that is going to be the final decision, if it is, it would be remanded back to the states. I want to get your thought on that.
So at our most recent national convention, we voted to remove the abortion plank from our platform. So we officially have no position on the topic of abortion. And the reason that happened is because the party has been split on abortion for decades. And there are good faith arguments on both sides. We acknowledge that. And the way that our plank was written it was supposed to acknowledge that as well, but it really came across as more pro-choice, and it did drive off people who were very libertarian but also socially conservative. And so I think that deleting that has made it more welcoming environment for people who are pro-life. Because I understand from the perspective of small government, if you're a libertarian and you think government should only exist to defend the individual rights and private property rights, part of individual rights is being alive, let's face it. And a lot of people think that government should exist to protect the life of unborn children. And so that's why we just removed it. You know, people who believe, who are pro-choice are still welcome in the party, but now we've made it more clear that people who are pro-life are also welcome in the party.
I think that may be a good idea because it is such a divisive issue, and I've always I've always thought about that myself. Libertarians do indeed get kind of divided. So let's go to the border thing. We've got obviously an issue with people pouring in over the southern border. I think that's one of the things that's going to bring the Democratic Party to its knees for a while. Because the party, which is in power right now, Joe Biden and the Congress, have basically just let things go. They've almost encouraged, apparently, illegal immigration. Does the Libertarian Party, which believes in open borders, does the Libertarian Party take any kind of a stance on whether or not we should be more secure in our southern border?
They don't right now, and the platform might change again in a couple of years, to be perfectly honest, because people in the party are also split on this issue, and they're split in a range of ways. There are some people who are just straight open borders. There are some people who believe immigration should be reformed and more like Ellis Island. And then there are people who take sort of this radical private borders approach who want us to move towards all land being privatized and having owners control who comes into their borders. And obviously, we're not anywhere near close to that as a country. It's sort of a philosophical position at this point, not a policy position.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see that changing in the future. I have a lot of sympathy for people who come here because they're pursuing the American dream. I also understand that we are being crushed under the welfare state. And so it's really difficult sometimes to justify letting anybody come over here. Personally, I would like to see people be able to come over here to work, but not necessarily become naturalized and have the right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would probably solve a lot of our issues.
We're talking with Angela McArdle, the new chairwoman of the National Libertarian Party. And I'll tell you, it's an interesting situation, Angela. You've got a lot of things on your plate. Let's talk about membership. The party's been around since 1971. Everybody knows about the party. But let's be honest. As far as attaining high political situations, the party has been, stymied a little bit. There are no libertarians in Congress. They're either Republicans, Democrats, or independents. There are no governors that are libertarians. They may be libertarian in philosophy, but you know what I mean. They're not a member of the Libertarian Party. So what does the Libertarian Party need to do to expand and go upward in those particular areas?
Well, I believe the answer to that is tough, and it's not what people want to hear. But what we really have to do is focus on local elections to develop some political capital and experience, grow our movement, and demonstrate our value at the local level so that people will trust us in the state assembly and at the federal level. We've got to adopt what I call a low time preference strategy, which is where we plan for our future. We don't prioritize trying to make immediate, unrealistic, unattainable gains within the next couple of years. So as a national party's chair, I certainly still intend to support and run presidential candidates and work at the federal level, but I really do want to emphasize how important it is to get involved with city council, even boring things like your local zoning board, your water board, because that's where you really cut your teeth in the political movement, and that's where you gain experience. that's what we need.
Indeed. And on the local level, there's no question about it. Libertarians have gained a foothold.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about ballot access. Now, people might not know exactly what that term means. I know you do. The Libertarian Party has for a long time been, let's be honest, they've been shut out of certain states and certain, ballots. And so you've that's one of the biggest fights that the party has right now, correct?
That is correct. And specifically, we're having those battles in Tennessee, Georgia, Illinois right now. Those are some battleground states. New Hampshire to a lesser degree. And possibly Missouri, as I kind of have to deal with some redistricting nonsense that is making it difficult for our candidates.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what, are all the issues the same? I mean, is the problem or whatever for each of these states the same reason? Why is it so difficult to allow a libertarian to run for an office?
Well, there are different legislative issues and electoral issues in every state. But really, people just want to hold on to power, and that's understandable, right? Because everybody wants to be in charge. You want your guy in office. You want your guy to win. So we have to work extra hard to make it so that we have an opportunity to have a seat at the table. It's difficult, but it's a worthwhile battle.
Yeah, and it kind of gets down to getting enough signatures, right? And bringing them to the courthouse and saying, here, look, we got enough people here that, backing this Libertarian candidate. Is that how that works?
Yes. In almost every circumstance. There are a few exceptions, but that is generally the rule. New York, we're fighting a big ballot access battle right now. That's an incredibly difficult one because that's a very blue state, and it's the deck is very stacked against us. But interesting things happen. We just finished a signature challenge in the state of Wisconsin where we got all of our signatures in. It wasn't actually that many that we had to turn in, but then the GOP candidate challenged our guy, and we had to go to court and defend our signatures. There's all kinds of little ways that things can go off the rails or be challenged.
Mm-hmm. So how is the membership itself going? Have you been gaining membership?
Yes.
Good. I was going to ask you about that. I don't know how many members technically there are. I think there are different ways of counting members, but that sounds like a positive. Go ahead.
We're close to 17,000 right now in the national party, and then obviously state parties have memberships as well, and I don't have all the details, the data on those numbers.
Right. Indeed. And we know that, I know here in Florida, there's all kinds of active libertarian groups, including here in Pinellas County, very much so. And so that's good to hear. I mean, the Libertarian Party, I think, has a real message of mainly of individual rights and individual freedom. I don't know how you feel overall, but it seems to me that we are moving towards a more controlled environment overall in this country. I find it very scary, Angela. I want to get your thought on that.
I agree. I think that we're moving towards kind of a totalitarian bureaucratic centralization. It's not like I don't think history necessarily repeats itself to a T, but it rhymes. And so we're seeing people come into power with emergency powers and hold on to it for as long as possible and set new precedents. And I've never seen anything else like it in my lifetime. You know, I don't know if we've seen anything in the past 100 years, at least not since the draft, that is this frightening. But one of the good things that we're seeing is that people are finally waking up. I hope it's not too little too late. But I do see more working class people and just like normal Americans saying that they're fed up, they've had enough, and they want their basic freedoms back. So that encourages me.
I think you're right. I think the pendulum is swinging back that way. And I'm encouraged as well. Angela, thank you so very much for taking the time. I know how busy you must be. Thank you for coming on, and the very best of luck.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure. Angela McArdle, chairwoman of the Libertarian Party. All right. Going to take our break. And when we come back, Governor Ron DeSantis is set to speak before a conservative Jewish conference in New York. All of a sudden, there's a huge backlash. There's a huge backlash over it. We're going to tell you a little bit about it and then get some thoughts on it, as well as a few other things from the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street by co-host and financial veteran Berkeley Badger. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this TAN Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. Thank you so very much for being with us here on Freedom Works. Well, Governor DeSantis, Ron DeSantis, certainly has been able to keep himself in the news, whether he wants to be in the news in some cases or not. A New York City institution is facing backlash over a conservative Jewish conference long in the planning because one of its guests is Governor Ron DeSantis. There is a recreation complex with a large event space in Manhattan. It's called Chelsea Piers. They agreed to host a conference, a conservative Jewish conference, this weekend. I guess it's this coming. I'll have to check on that one. But it's being criticized by elected officials and activist groups who say that Ron DeSantis should not speak there because he's played an important role in New York's LGBTQ history. Well, I should say that Chelsea Piers has played an important role in it. Therefore, Ron DeSantis should not be there. I think this is a stretch. Earlier this year, as you know, Governor DeSantis signed legislation that prohibited classroom discussion of gender identity and sexual orientations for grades 1 through 3. I take it there's a bunch of people in New York that feel that maybe we should be shoving it down their throats at that point. Well, we've got both of our brothers here, the Ceresi brothers, both Angelo and Andrew. Delighted to have them. Angelo, since it's in New York, although you're up in Rochester, I want to get your thought on this. Did you hear about this? And do you think that they should stop Governor DeSantis from speaking at a conservative Jewish conference because somehow the building has some connection to gay rights years ago? What's going on here?
This is the first I've heard of it.
kind of crazy, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
Yeah. Earlier this year, Governor DeSantis signed this bill. You know where you're aware of that,
right?
That stops teaching, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, and 8-year-old kids about sexual orientation, gender identity, certain pronouns, and the whole bit. Right? They're still learning they're still learning the alphabet.
Right.
At that point. Well, the Jewish
LGBTQ.
Exactly, yes. Those are the only letters they're going to learn, it sounds like. Anyway, the event is the Jewish Leadership Conference. It was organized by the Tikva Fund. That's a conservative Jewish organization. It invited DeSantis to deliver a speech about the vibrancy of Jewish life in Florida, which I think would be interesting. Andrew, what do you think?
Well, Paul, I think they need to quit their baloney.
number one, what do they think kids need to be learning from kindergarten to third grade? Who cares that they, I don't understand them. But they want their agenda pushed on kids to make them think everything is okay and normal. Tell them go get a job. They got too much time on their hands to be protesting.
Sure, but what do you think about these people up in New York? I know that this is maybe small potatoes to a certain extent, but this is another form of censorship. It's like when we censor the names off of, bring down statues and we censor. Now they're going to change the name of a park in Yellowstone, or a mountain, rather, a mountain. There's a guy who's, and I can't remember the name of the guy. It was some important frontiersman or whatever. And they're going to stop naming the mountain after him because at some point he got involved in a fight with the Indians. I mean, come on. We're trying to do everything. We're trying to censor everybody. We're going to get to the point where you'd be afraid to open your mouth.
Paul, let me ask you one question. Last week, the Chinese diplomats told our diplomats, if you guys mess with us with Taiwan, we're going to blow you off the map no matter what it takes. And they're worried about this.
I know.
Okay? Come on, get a grip, people. You might not be here in 2 days
yes.
to go protest.
Exactly. We are so, to the point of, it's just, what do you think, Angelo? The Jewish, conservative Jewish group said they're going right ahead with this. And the place where it's going to be held says it's not going to cancel the event. It says it does not police the views expressed by those who rent its event spaces. How refreshing that is.
At least, right, stand your ground on that. I mean, this is ridiculous. They're trying to change our country. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to censor everything that we do and everything that we stand for, these people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they don't like it here, leave.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, Paul, you shocked me with one thing.
Yeah.
Actually, I was shocked with the whole article. I was reading it yesterday, and I thought it had already happened.
It may have happened.
That's what I'm saying. You made it sound like it didn't happen.
No, yet. I did.
Okay.
But here's the deal. I just read it over the weekend, and I thought that it says here, this weekend or this coming week. I wasn't sure if it was this coming weekend.
It already happened.
Okay. Yeah. So they did hold it.
Happened.
Excellent.
Yeah, they did hold it. But you know what you really shocked me with? Actually, what really shocked me with when I read that article? A Jewish conservative group. That shocked me.
Why?
Because most Jewish people are liberals.
But it's a Jewish conservative. Oh, you mean that there are no such things as conservative Jews?
Right.
Oh, there are plenty of conservative Jews. Well, I can tell you that.
I have a couple of them that come in my barbershop.
Yeah, you know that.
Yeah, you know, I was just making a pun there. Because
no, you're right.
Are liberals, Paul.
You are right. I've always wondered. To me, this has always been the question. Of all people that should be conservative, of all people,
it
should be Jewish people, if you think about it.
You're talking New York City, though.
Yeah, but why are they so liberal in New York or in Chicago or anything? Where else were they congregate? Why are there so many liberal Jews? It's also been the case in Florida to some extent. Generally, they voted generally Democratic.
You would think of society, especially in New York City.
You would think that being Jewish with all they've been through in life, there wouldn't be one liberal Jew.
Exactly. That's what I'm wondering. I mean, of all the people that do not want to go left. You know, look what countries, progressive socialist countries, have done to Jewish people. Look at the Nazis, which were really Nazis, National Socialists. Look at Russia.
National Socialists, yeah.
I mean, it defies logic.
Excuse me, if you take the Israeli Jewish people, they're very conservative.
True.
Okay, so why are the American Jewish people so liberal?
Good question. Good question.
I mean, let's face it.
The only thing I can think of is, do you think that when they came here, and they tend to be, I hate to use this word, it's going to sound prejudiced, but they tend to be clannish. They stay together, right?
Everybody did when they came here.
They did. And the more clannish you might be, and because they had their own, you know, let's be honest, you know, an Irishman and then an Italian or a German, you know, they come in. A Jewish person is more it's more than just the country. It's got an ethnicity to it. And they stayed together, and I'm thinking that it was a kind of a collectivism that kept them liberal. Do you know what I mean by that, Angelo?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, New York is a hard nut to crack. The Democrats, why they're Democrats. I don't know. I just don't understand.
Now, having said that, let's go to this thing. I think there are going to be states like California that are going to go red to a large extent this November with what is going on in this country.
They had better go red because look at the path that the Democrats are taking us down right now.
That's what I mean.
I mean, it's total. It's almost total devastation.
I mean, even inside the city, even inside some of these cities, it's going to go red. Look at San Francisco voting out their district attorney, Andrew. Even New York. I would think more districts in New York are going to turn red.
No, Paul, I was just reading an article this morning where, you know, and New York, for some reason, still believes this union, union, union. I mean, I fight with a bunch of Italian descended people all the time, especially from
in your family.
Okay,
yes,
from Rochester, that are Democrats and they just love Biden, and I don't understand why. But Holcomb just signed into legislation yesterday.
You're talking about the governor of New York,
right? She just signed legislation, I believe, Friday, to put $47 million invested into the New York State Thruway for repairs to put the union people to work because there's no work.
So she's going to make busy work for them, huh?
Exactly.
Well, and she's also sending out rebate checks to New Yorkers. You know, it says from Governor Kathy Hochul. I mean, I didn't get one yet.
This is a state rebate? A state check?
Yes, she's sending out checks. You know, you got your primary coming up pretty soon here in New York State, right?
Oh, where'd she get this money, and how much is it, may I ask?
Well, some people are getting $1,000, you know.
It's a bribe.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. She on the envelope, excuse me, it says, you know, to help New Yorkers get through the economic crisis. All it is a bribe.
It's a bribe.
Typical what the Democrats always do. And they want your people to rely on them, you know.
Isn't your president doing the same thing with the so-called tuition?
Yeah, you know, he's trying to do.
Of course he is.
Of course.
These are the high people that, you know, the high wage earners. They want their tuition, like Ocasio-Cortez, who makes $175,000 a year. She wants her tuition all paid for.
You got it. By the way, a Republican congressman, Scott DeJarlis, is introducing a bill that'll block Biden's student loan forgiveness plan.
That should. They should do that.
Yeah. Should.
Absolutely, it should.
I mean, it should.
Like, Why should somebody?
No, go ahead, Andrew.
Why should somebody that didn't go to college, that went to trade school, have to pay for somebody's college education if they decided that's what they wanted to
exactly.
do?
Exactly. And if you're going to pay off the guy's student loans, by the way, you know, years ago I had to pay, and my dad actually did it. He took out a loan for me. He had to pay it off. Why don't you pay off my mortgage my mortgage payments while you're at it?
Exactly.
And my car loan payments or whatever else, right?
Now look at Paul. They're driving the middle-class person right out of living. Look at the average rent in the country today.
You're right.
$1,800. Where are they going with this? Look at the gasoline, $5.01 a gallon now.
They're
drinking the people. They're broke.
And Angela, up in New York, I can't imagine how much it must cost to be driving around the Big Apple, you know, and getting gas. First of all, I don't know anybody crazy enough to get gas inside New York City. But
Angelo, we gotta be crazy to live in New York.
Yeah, you do.
You know,
Paul.
You know what I like to touch on, Paul, is like Governor Hochul just signed this new gun control act. You know,
yes,
that limiting. I guess you have to be like 21 years old to purchase a semi-automatic rifle. You have to be licensed to get it now, and everything like that.
In New York.
The question I would like to ask Governor Hochul is, why don't you make 18 years old not be drafted?
Exactly.
You must be 21 years old to go into the service. You must be 21 years old to vote. And you're 21 years old now to drink, right? So if you're going to do everything, should be equal to everybody. It should be 21 years old to be the law of majority.
So 21 should become what amounts to adulthood.
Right. I mean, if you can't trust an 18-year-old to do anything, why the heck are you letting them vote?
Yeah, I tell you what, I don't think they're ever going to raise the draft age to 21. I just don't see that. They want, that's one thing. Hey, you're 18 years old, you can run fast, you can jump high, blah, blah, blah. We want you, you know?
Well, it's too bad. If you can't be, if you cannot be able to control your emotions or do anything at 18 years old, why should you be able to do that too?
Yeah.
Why should you be able to vote?
Right.
At 18. If they say that you are not capable enough to handle anything in life, why are you voting?
I agree.
Able to go into the military.
And by the way, in the gun legislation nationally, they did not put in that mandatory 21-year-old to own a gun. So I think they realize, first of all, it ain't going to pass. If you raise the age to 21, it's just not going to pass. There are too many people under that age that already have guns.
But what about the states, though? You know, like, say, New York?
Well, New York can do its own thing, right?
Right. I mean, each state's going to be able to do their own thing.
And I tend to agree with that. I don't want some idiot in Washington telling me. I would rather obey a law, even though I don't like it, if it came from the state than if it came from Washington.
Right. I mean, you know, I understand what they're trying to do. But if you can't trust anybody at 18, why are you trusting them to vote?
I agree.
Because you want to get their votes? You notice the young people always go Democrat anyway, right?
Exactly. Although, take a look at the latest polls. But you know what? You're right about that, Angela. Take a look at the latest polls. They're actually turning. They're turning Republican. They're turning to vote, at least in this coming election, when they've taken this poll, apparently. They're leaning a Republican. Guys, it's always a pleasure to have both of you on. I want to thank you so much, as usual. And, of course, on Wednesday, Andrew, look forward to talking with you again. But thanks, Angelo. Thanks, Andrew.
You're quite welcome.
All right, my friends.
Have a good day.
All right, buddy.
Take care.
Okay, there they go. All right, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, among other things, we have an update of top 10 greatest rock bands ever.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for joining us on this Monday. By the way, we're on 10 to 11 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on the Tantalk Radio Network. But if you cannot listen to us live, thank you, Big Ed. He puts all our shows on podcast. All you got to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. He's got the name of the guest. He's got the top 10. What more in life do you need? I also want to thank Ed. This guy is the jack of all trades. I had a big computer problem, Ed. You came in and fixed it. In fact, he took control of the computer from his room there.
It's called remote access.
Yes, you have remote
and
access.
And then reboot the computer.
Well, you did it. It's running like a top. Yeah. I appreciate that very much. So I got to read the story, Ed. You'll get a kick out of it. Now even Democrats are whispering that Biden should not run in 2024. Many Democratic lawmakers and party officials are venting their frustration with Biden's struggle to advance the bulk of his agenda, doubting his ability to rescue the party from a trouncing, and increasingly viewing him as an anchor that should be cut loose in 2024. Now, here's the deal. Can you think of anybody in the Democratic Party right now that has got any kind of, what's the word, gravitas, maybe, you know? Charisma, gravitas.
Momentum.
Momentum. Is there anybody in the Democratic Party? Who are they going to run? All you can think about are a bunch of old men and women over there. Are they going to run Bernie Sanders again?
God, dig him up again.
How about Hillary Clinton? Ugh. Are they going to run her? Oh, I know. We'll run Pocahontas. Well, I mean, they're all... What do they got?
Even AOC, who is, you know, no credibility whatsoever.
AOC, she has no gravitas.
I know. She was asked about if she would endorse Biden if he ran again. And she paused and said, la, 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 la. Well, you didn't answer my question.
Right.
Well,
she
let's,
skipped it.
I'm more worried about midterms right now. Let's worry about that when the nomination comes.
In other words, I can't stand the guy,
words,
and he's
yeah.
gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know
right.
what? They're deathly afraid of me. Of course, you got this whole January 6th going. They're so afraid that he's going to run again.
Everything is collapsing around us, right?
They're
everything.
So afraid.
And what do we got? We got Liz. Look at the stock market. 817 points in the red right now.
They're so afraid that Trump will run again. And if he gets in and he wins, then you've got DeSantis behind that. It could be 12 years before they sniff the presidential office
yes.
again.
Yeah, you may be right. All right, before we get to our top 10, I got to ask you, Ed, I did make a mistake. Why do I call them the Rockies? That's the baseball team. It's the Avalanche. Is the Avalanche going to come falling down on top of the Tampa Bay Lightning? We got two different weather patterns
I know.
Going against
the Avalanche.
Each other.
Going to come in, and they're going to beat the Lightning. The Lightning going to lose.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
What have I said? Every series I've said they're going to lose, and what happens?
Oh, yes, that's true.
So we got to keep form.
You're right. Okay.
I don't care what happens. Even if they don't show up, the Lightning are going to lose.
Okay. I think it's going to be a good series. I think the two best teams
I'm telling
may
you,
be playing.
It is so stressful that last minute or so, I mean, on that last period when you have a lead and you're trying to hold it.
One goal lead.
Right, and you're trying to hold it. It is incredibly stressful.
You're right. But that's what makes it exciting.
Yeah.
You know, after the final buzzer and you win the game after holding them off like that.
And to win it at home.
That's right. Didn't
the
have
sweet
to
part.
Take a game seven back
that's
in
right.
New York.
That's right.
All right. Excellent. All right, Ed. Now, we have got the revised top 10 greatest rock bands ever. You know what? This is, let's be honest, it's everybody's got their own opinion. And you get 10 different people, you'll get 10 different top 10s, all right? So we know that, but this comes from New Arena, and we're going to talk a little bit about each rock band that made it into the top 10. So here we go. Number 10, AC/DC.
Yeah.
I think they were good.
Yeah.
The squeal of Bob Scott, then the smoker's growl of Brian Johnson. And Angus Young.
Oh, you are so reading
build.
That.
Yes, I am.
I was going to say, you know nothing about ACDC.
I know not a damn thing about them. Yes, actually, I do. But I don't know a lot about them. Anyway, number 9, U2.
Yeah.
And I do know something about U2. They're an Irish band. They've won more Grammys than, no band of any genre has won more Grammy Awards than the 22... that U2 possesses. Did you know that?
And those are good old school bands that made their money and their niche with good music and good lyrics.
Right.
They didn't have to drop F-bombs or anything like that.
Exactly. Right. The good old days. All right, yeah. Number eight. Rush. Now, I thought...
That was a hardcore band,
It was
though.
A hardcore band. I honestly couldn't stand the noise.
I couldn't either. My friend used to drive us to school every morning, and I had to listen to that because it was his car.
When it comes to progressive rock, Rush remains the king of the hill. Number seven. How about Pink Floyd?
Oh, absolutely. Some great songs. The Wall?
Yes. Yeah. Pink Floyd. The drama that dispensed through the Pink Floyd's Hall of Fame career is almost as entertaining as its music. So they had a lot of things going on. Number six. The Who.
The Who, yeah.
These are all the great bands of the past.
Yeah, it's a good list so far.
When it came to showmanship and mastering live music experience, not many did it better than The Who. Roger Daltrey, Pete Townsend. That was quite a combo right there. Number five. The Beach Boys.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Beach Boys?
Oh, they got to be there, yeah.
Yeah, of course they are. They kind of brought in a whole new sound back in the 60s.
Right.
You know, the California sound. Number four, Queen.
Yeah.
You like Queen?
Another one bites the dust.
Collective of four stellar underrated musicians. Number three, Led Zeppelin.
Mm-hmm. Another hardcore guy.
Yeah. Led Zeppelin. If Black Sabbath is considered the godfather of heavy metal, Zeppelin certainly refined it.
Yep.
Okay, number two. Who do you think's number two?
The Beatles have got to be in there somewhere. I'll go the Beatles at number two.
Okay. It ain't. The Rolling Stones.
Oh, yeah.
You forgot about the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
They've been around forever. They have been around
forever. They're
still
around.
That's what I'm saying. The Rolling Stones, and they're all in there. They're close to 80 years old.
Yeah.
And they're still playing. I don't think they rolled them out in wheelchairs yet.
No, Mick Jagger doesn't need no wheelchair. What, are you kidding me?
I tell you. They just had their drummer pass away.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Mick Jagger may look like somebody's 90-year-old grandmother, but he's still out there.
When he was 21 years old, he still had that.
Yeah.
I don't know. He still had some of that. All right. And who do you think is the number one greatest rock band?
I think if it's not the Beatles, it's going to be a recall.
Exactly. It is the Beatles, of course. And we can talk about the music Love Me Do, Twist and Shout, Yesterday, and Let It Be, and that's just scratching the surface. But why are the Beatles the best-selling band in the world? Because of the reaction fans across the pond in England and on American soil had to John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Nothing but hysteria. All right. Thank you so very much. We will indeed be back on Wednesday. Be careful out there, and remember, freedom works.
From AC/DC.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by NHTSA.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. Round two of the House Capitol insurrection hearings has just started.
The Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol will be in order.
Chairman Benny Thompson.
This morning, we'll tell the story of how Donald Trump lost an election and knew he lost an election, and as a result of his loss, decided to wage an attack.